Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Why Am I So Happy? Thank you so much for joining us today. I am just thrilled to share with you Mayor Snyder. He is an amazing, amazing man. He is the founder and head teacher of the School for Self-Healing in San Francisco, which offers programs that satisfy the continuing education requirements of the American Massage Therapy Association and the National Certification Board for Therapeutic Massage and Body Work. And Mayor Snyder actually was born blind and taught himself to see through his own healing journey. He learned principles which can be applied to all areas of health, both mental and physical. It is a gift to all of us to have you on the show today. I am so grateful. Welcome, welcome.
Paula, it is so nice to be on the show. I feel at home.
Oh, I just love it. I'm so excited. Well, to begin, Mayor, would you like to share anything with us about your personal journey?
Yes, I was born with cataracts. And many people have cataracts in an older age, for example, in their 60s and 70s. Lately, more younger people have cataracts, and that's something we should speak about, how to prevent that. But very, very few people are ever born with cataracts, only one out of 20,000 infants. And cataracts is an opacity of the lens that does not allow the light to penetrate through. My two kids were born with cataracts as well. And my surgeries were very unsuccessful, and there are two problems that you have when you're born with cataracts. One is that in the first 8 weeks of life, the brain doesn't tend to look at anything except for the first hour when the infant is out of the womb and is so surprised with how much light there is around. But only at the age of 8 weeks, the infant starts to look. And normally the infant then sees well from 2.5 feet and no more than that. After that, the infant starts to see better and better and better. And what happens is, if you miss the time, the critical time when the brain expects you to see, because there's a blockage in your vision, it is a determined thing that you become blind for life. In my generation, physicians had no idea that that's the case. And so they had five unsuccessful surgeries that were trying to just operate my cataracts, but scar tissue was formed instead of the cataracts. And I had two problems. One is that I was operated at the age of four, and two, that what was supposed to be my lens became tremendous scar tissue, and light was bounced back. So I was reading Braille until I was 17, and then I discovered eye exercises. And in the eye exercises, eventually I've written about it in my book, Vision for Life, and it's in Yoga for Your Eyes and the Natural Vision Improvement Kit. The eye exercises basically work on nine different principles, and the principles are deep relaxation of the eyes, adjustment to different light frequencies, to the strong sunlight and to the weak light of the night, looking at the distance, paying attention to your periphery, balancing the use between the eyes, balancing the use within each eye, because each eye doesn't necessarily work in a balanced way, looking at smaller details than we tend to see to wake up the macula of the eye, body and eye coordination, and more blood flow to the head and to the eyes. Those principles have been used by me very diligently with different exercises that I did while I studied, while I finished breakfast. I used to go to the Sea of Tel Aviv and swim and do exercises and then eat my breakfast, go to the high school and still do eye exercises, do them while studying. I just didn't stop doing them. And what is totally unknown is that somebody at the age of 17 can gain vision, and especially me, with the fact that 99% of my lens is scar tissue, I'm still able to see. I built up vision, to give you a sense, from 1% to 70% of normal vision. I'm still considered to be handicapped because I'm 30% handicapped, but I can read, write, and drive. And my two kids were born with cataracts, and they're not handicapped. Wow. They had the surgery done on time. They had it done at the age of 2 weeks. And then with the eye exercises and with the diligent work they did with themselves and I did with them, they see better than anyone who was ever born with cataracts. These days, kids who are born with cataracts, normally the vision will be about 40% of normal. But my daughter sees 100%, and my son sees even better than 100% of normal. And that is a result of combining, doing the surgery on time. They removed the lenses at the age of 2 weeks. They then put contact lenses so they will see close to them and slowly reduce the contact lenses. And to give you a sense, my son used to have 33 diopters. Now he has 9.5. And without his natural lens, the lens is basically 16 diopters. So he sees with a little bit more than half of the correction of the lens, 20/20, and without it, even though he doesn't have a lens, he sees 20/40, which is 80% of 20/20. So it shows you how well eye exercise work, and I work with thousands of people and got them to see way better.
Yes. Would you like to share what a few of those exercises are and tell us, are they difficult?
Well, let's talk about, first of all, how easy it is. You know, many of your audience, I assume, are Reiki practitioners or Reiki students.
Yes.
And I want to tell you that there's a lot of common in our practice. One of the most important exercises, which is called palming, that helped me tremendously because I used to palm, my eyes used to move involuntarily at a speed of 300 movements per minute. I could not focus on one area of the room, one area of any place, because they moved and moved and moved. Just imagine that you want to look what's in front of you, but your eyes move to the left. You want to look at the left, they move to the right. You want to look up, they move down. They just don't listen to you. That was a result of the fact that my optic nerve was very irritable as a result of the late surgeries that were done and the kind of surgeries that were done on my lens. So my optic nerve was very irritable. So one of the best exercises for me was to sit down, rub my hands, relax my shoulders, and put my hands over my eye orbits, breathe deeply, and visualize complete darkness. The darker, I could not visualize darkness, I could not even visualize blackness because my optic nerve was so irritable. I saw like the stars in front of me. But when my optic nerve relaxed, when I was able to see darker, my movement slowed down to 60 movements per minute, and I was able to start and look at details. Now, what's wonderful about Reiki is that you give energy to a person, and you put your hands around the eye orbits, and you relax them, you visualize light, we visualize darkness. Just like Tibetan yogis used to do for 1,500 years, they used to sit in caves with dark robes, palm, put the hands around the eyes, and visualize blackness, which really helped them a lot. When they got out of the cave, the vision was very acute. It's just like you, if you relax completely, then you can move much easier. If you stretch, it's much easier to contract, and vice versa. Well, the same thing happens here. When you put your hands over someone's eye orbits, you relax their eyes. And I think that most of you can't give yourself credit because you probably don't know the field, but most of you probably help people improve their vision simply by putting the hands around the eye orbit. Well, I've done that, but then go ahead.
That made me want to share a story, if I may. Just this past year, I had a beautiful woman bring her 19-year-old daughter to me for a Reiki treatment. She was involved in a drive-by shooting in Seattle. I live in Washington. And she had blurry vision from this. And she came for several Reiki sessions. And this young lady, just she's She swears that that Reiki helped her with her vision. That's
I believe it completely.
Yes.
You know, one time I was sitting down and palming, again, putting my hands very, very gently around the eye orbits, visualized dark colors, and I was palming with another very strong student in this work, and we palmed for 11 hours, and I didn't know that it was 11 hours until we finished. And after that, I could get my driver's license. But what I want to say, I did the exact opposite. I also adjusted to the sunlight. Many people escape the sun. And talking in Seattle, you don't have enough sun.
Yes.
And many people are depressed for that reason.
Yes.
And I think it's very important to understand that for every one person who gets cancer of the skin for being exposed to the sun, there's more than 7,500 people that get osteoporosis for not being in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And it affects the heart, it affects many other places. Also, by the way, I think it's very important to adjust to all weather. That's for another discussion. But we need to adjust to the sun. And there's a very specific exercise, which is in my book, which is also in my different DVDs, where you close your eyes and you move your head from side to side as you face the sun. And when you face the sun, your pupils constrict. And when you move away, they expand. And that really affects the eyes wonderfully. So you don't move it ear to shoulder, but chin to shoulder, all the way from side to side with the eyes closed. And the sun then doesn't bother you. You don't need sunglasses in the sun, and unless you drive, you know, when the sun sets or rises.
Yes.
That's very important. And another important exercise is to look at details. I remember that my Braille teacher taught me, don't look at anything. You don't see things well anyway. Just feel. Until these days, when I dial the phone, I sometimes just feel the dials out of that childhood memory, and I'm already in my early 60s. So I learned to do otherwise, to look from detail to detail. And the more details I looked at, the better I saw. And first, it was very general details, and I remember describing in one of my books, it's in Movements of Self-Healing, I described that I used to spend a whole summer looking at windows and air conditioners. I was an A student in history and asked myself the question, how come I'm doing that? And my son explained it to me when he was 8 weeks of age. With his contact lenses, he was really interested in black and white checkered squares. Automatically, that's what the human brain likes to look at that time. We stimulate infants, and that's what they're looking at. And so I look from window and air conditioner, and these days I have a little chart which is called the shifter, where we look at different lines, lines in black and in white, up and down the lines, and we start to retrain our brain to look at details. And then one very important thing is we learn to ignore our periphery. You look at a computer before you know there is no wall, there are no ceilings, there's no floor. So you don't pay attention to your periphery at all. And what you do is you look at the computer and you narrow your periphery, which leads to tremendous eye strain. So what we do is we wave our hands to the side and we put a small piece of paper between our eyes and we wave the hands to the side as we look straight at the paper, just to do the exact opposite, to integrate the periphery into our work and into our life. So building up the periphery becomes very important. And then, you know, many people eventually have a stronger eye and a weaker eye. So we train them to obstruct the stronger eye and to activate the weaker eye. Because unlike medicine, we believe that the brain can change its direction after the age of 8 or 10. So all of that is written in my book, and I teach classes. I'm going to travel after this recording to New York and to Montreal and to D.C. and Sainte-Marie. And by the way, this September, I will be in Seattle and I will be in Portland. I will teach to the Bastyr University in Seattle and I will teach to the Oregon School of Massage in Portland. But in August, we're going to have a training course. It's like a life training. You work on yourself for 10 hours, on your body and on your eyes. On the body to develop kinesthetic awareness, to work on better circulation, and to and to improve the work of seven key systems of the body, among them digestion, nervous system, and visual system. And that's what you do in my class for 10 hours, and you also learn touch and massage. And we use the ocean a lot. We use our trampoline a lot. We use many, many natural facilities. Instead of being locked in a gym, you really learn how to breathe and feel your own body. So I really hope to see many people in my class, whether they're professional that want to acquire more, and especially I'm calling for Reiki therapists to come and learn how to translate the energy into physical work, because you could do it that way. And whether there are people who just want to work on themselves, it's from the 13th to the 31st of August. It is 4 days, a day off, 4 days, 2 days off, and then again, another 4 days, a day off, and 4 days. It could be just wonderful if people can come and work with me.
Oh, it sounds absolutely fantastic, and I'm so thrilled you're going to be in Seattle. I would love to take this. I'm going to sign up for this. This sounds fantastic. We do have to pop out a moment for commercial, but everyone, we will be right back. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Paula V here, and welcome to Why Am I So Happy? If you are just joining us, I am here today with Meir Schneider, and he is the author of Vision for Life, 10 Steps to Natural Eyesight Improvement, as well as a teacher, author. He does so much. I'm so happy you're joining us. And for those of my new BBS listeners out there, and I know I do have listeners from my Voice America show, For the Love of Reiki, and thank you for joining me on my new show. I am just thrilled to be with PBS. And Meir, please, let's start right out. Please share with the listeners how they can get a copy of your new fantastic book.
Well, it's very easy. First of all, it's everywhere. It's on Amazon. You can also order it from your local bookstore. And you can, of course, contact the School for Self-Healing at www.self-healing.org. And you can also call us at 415-665-9574 and order a book. I want to share with you one of my latest triumphs that happened to me in my six-day eye classes. I taught a six-day eye class in San Francisco this year, and I'm going to teach one in Germany, in the Black Forest. It's very close to France and to Switzerland. In fact, last time I landed in Switzerland to get there.
Oh.
And I want to tell you what happened there. There was a wonderful lady by the name of Tanya, who is a Serbian that immigrated to Italy. And 2.5 years ago, I was in Italy, and I was teaching an eye class and lecturing in a conference of natural vision improvement. And I saw her for her first session. And then I saw her again in a big class that I was teaching in Milano, Italy, this year. It was fantastic. And then she came to a very big class that I was teaching in San Francisco, the natural vision improvement. Unlike the training where we have lesser people, but, you know, because we train for many more hours. The eye class is only 6 days, and some people come for part of it, some people come all of it. She came all the way from Italy, so she came for the whole class. And her problem was that about 6 years ago, they did a surgery to remove a cyst from her brain. The cyst was never found, but they hurt her third cranial nerve, and she could not open her left eye. If you would cover the right eye, she would open the left eye, and she worked with a lot of eye exercise practitioners, based practitioners in Italy, and they admired me, they brought her to me and all that, but she could never open the left eye independently. So when she came to San Francisco, I suggested that we'll have long sessions, like 2.5 hour sessions. And I worked with her. I massaged inside her mouth, you know, with a glove. I worked a lot on her neck. I did with her body work. And a massage her head, and I don't even remember all that I've done. The next day, she came to me. She said, I have a headache. I put her ice over her head so she would be able to take the whole class. And the day after that, I taught them how to blink and how to blink with each eye independently. Well, I wanted to show Tanya as an example of somebody who cannot open her left eye when the right eye is open. But when she opened the right eye, she could easily open the left eye, and from then on, she's opening her left eye. And there's no precedent of that in any medical literature.
Wow.
That after a brain surgery that hurts, you know, physically, the knife hurt the optic nerve, she could open her eye. So I just want to say the exercises are so powerful. It's not only that they got me from blindness, they can get you to get rid of your glasses. In the book, Vision for Life, we have a whole chapter that shows you how to use the computer without eye strain, paying attention to your periphery. We have a chapter that shows you how to get rid of your glasses if you have nearsightedness. One that can help you prevent glasses or get rid of the glasses if you have the stiff lens, if you are presbyopic, if you are farsighted. We have a wonderful chapter on overcoming astigmatism and how to overcome cross-sightedness. Then we have a chapter of how to prevent cataract. And if you have it, and if your lens was removed, how to prevent all kinds of problems that can happen. All the doctors tell you is, go and visit me. They don't tell you that you can do something. And in fact, this work is like good physical therapy for the eyes.
Yes.
And then we have a wonderful chapter on glaucoma, how to prevent it. Doctors are so scared of it. So many people lose so much vision with it. We can help you prevent that. And we can help you to overcome retinitis pigmentosa. And we can help you to prevent macular degeneration through doing the shifting exercises. All those are simple exercises. To explain to you, Paula, if you learn to relax and you learn to breathe, you may prevent asthma, emphysema, many problems that can happen to you if you did not know how to breathe deeply.
Yes.
Well, same thing here. We teach you to relax. We teach you to pay attention to details, to pay attention to the periphery. And so this book, with 226 pages, was incredible, passionate explanation of the philosophy, supported by at least 15 physicians and eye specialists. This book can really change your life forever, and especially we're now going to add to it a videotape with which you can see some of the exercise on video, but this book has 4 charts and many pictures that shows you how to do the exercise. And, you know, for what? For $22.
Yes.
For $22, you can learn things that no optometrist or ophthalmologist can teach you or tell you. And those of you who are Reiki practitioners and you want to support my message, we have a very special discount for quantity purchase. So you can buy a quantity purchase from us and sell it for regular price to your clients if they want to know how to work on the eyes, anywhere that you are in the world.
I love it. I love it. And I'm wondering, okay, this seems to me, these exercises and the things that you teach, this isn't just for someone who has eye problems. This could be for someone who has good vision right now, but what they're going to learn from you is sustaining that good vision and just in...
Absolutely.
Yes.
Look at our lifestyle. Look at our lifestyle. There are many things we do in our lifestyle which are not favorable for us. For example, our back is suffering from sitting too much. And it's suffering from shoes and cement. That's why I run on the beach often. But we need to do a lot of exercises to compensate for it, like stand up and stretch, things of that nature. Yes. Our lens is suffering from the fact that we look from near so much. The problems that are happening these days in the 60s and 70s, because of computer use, kids now will suffer those problems in the 40s and 50s because we don't pay attention to the periphery, because we don't look at a distance. For example, the advice of look at a distance for 20 minutes a day, 4 minutes once, 6 minutes once, 4 minutes once, 6 minutes once, as a break from your computer, as a break from reading, waving your hands to the side, paying attention to the periphery, that will prevent you from having cataract. The idea of paying attention to the periphery will help you to balance the use of the two eyes and will help you to not strain your eyes, because when you strain your eyes, you squint, you narrow, you tense your face, and you don't pay attention to the periphery. I will never forget the lady that was sitting in a train with me, and she was looking at a movie at her iPhone. We went from Manhattan to Brooklyn, and about 200 or 300 people came and went. There were 50 people in the train. She didn't pay attention to anyone, just at a movie. Well, if you put her in the jungle, and she will only pay attention to her iPhone and not to anything else, just imagine how quickly she'd be eaten by an animal. You
yes.
know, for a million years, we developed our periphery for survival. And right now, in the last 20 years, we're just destroying its activity. And every single year, we see worse than the year before. That's why I'm saying this is so important. This radio show is so important. Your support
yes.
is so important. Any one of the listeners have to pay attention to that. And when we come to the body, we really need to learn to use muscles we never used before. We have 600 muscles. Most of us use only 50 out of them. We have to start to develop kinesthetic awareness and use the body in a way that we have never, ever used before. So we create more mobility in the joints, more activity in the muscles, start to use muscles we never used before. So it's easier to use the muscles we always use, so the body doesn't get tired, doesn't get stiff, doesn't get tense. If we learn to do those things, our life will change completely. And that's why I want to train as many people as I can possibly train in my Ergus training on how to improve the body and the eyes. But you practitioners, if you can help me spread the word
yes.
that vision can improve, your Reiki therapy will have a whole new dimension. People will work on the eyes, come to you for Reiki, for your meditations, for your visualizations for them. And it will be so much more effective. There's nothing as effective as seeing better.
Oh, absolutely. What this would do for Reiki practitioners in enhancing what they can do for others. I absolutely love it. I love it. This, I mean, just these exercises really can be life-changing in what it can
absolutely.
Do for us. This is very exciting. I'm personally very, very excited that you will be doing some teaching in Seattle. I will be there, and I think that would be fantastic. I think it would be fun if we recorded a bit of a show from Seattle. That would be great.
Wonderful. We can do that. Definitely.
Oh, this is.
I will also want to sit with you over a cup of herbal tea.
Yes. Oh, I am just so honored to share you with everyone. And oh my gosh, everyone out there listening, I recommend this amazing book. I recommend, you know, learning more and taking some of this beautiful training. I'm just so blessed to connect with you and share you with the thousands of listeners on both of my shows. And we are down to just a couple more moments of the show. What last words, Mayor, would you like to share with the listeners today?
Right. You know, Vision for Life is really a good name for my book, because I want you to gain more vision even if you're legally blind. I want you to gain more vision even if your vision is an eagle eye vision. I want you to not only protect your vision, but improve it on a regular basis. And I'll never forget the body worker that I met who had a divorce. And at the time of divorce, for her mental state, everything was fuzzy, as if it was through a curtain. And everybody encouraged her to wear glasses, but she did not see the optometrist. Instead, she did eye exercises. And now, in her late 60s, 45 years later, she reads the menu for young folks, something that everybody from the 40s needs glasses for. So what I want to say is that it's very important to know that nature has powers.
Yes.
And we need to use conventional medicine, but our natural powers were stumped by too much exterior knowledge. And with kinesthetic awareness, with relaxation, adjustment to light frequencies, looking at a distance, paying attention to the periphery, and with good work on the body, and with looking at details, we can change our vision and we can change our life completely. And that's why this work is so important. You see, after working on my eyes, I start to believe in everyone's ability to improve.
Yes.
So, for example, I was able to help people with muscular dystrophy that nobody else can. I was able to help people with multiple sclerosis. And the thing is, I'm able to do that because I didn't do with them what I did with my eyes, but I was able to understand the same principles with different kind of work can make a difference for their life as well. So I believe that we're in the same lane. Reiki people can give us through their meditations and prayer the ability to do the physical and mental and spiritual work that we need to do to move forward. So I think we're in the same place
yes.
with different techniques, although some of them overlap.
Yes, yes. Together we all make a difference. Oh, this has been so fantastic. I am so thrilled to share you and your information with all of my listeners. Mayor, I just want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Paula, thank you so much for allowing me to bring the message to your wonderful audience.
Oh, you're so welcome. And to all of our listeners out there, big hugs, a happy day to everyone, and I will chat with you in the next episode. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Hello, everyone. Paula V here, and welcome to Why Am I So Happy? Joining me today is Benjamin Leto, and he is the founder of Body Mind Fitness. Benjamin is a NASM certified personal trainer. He's a NASM corrective exercise specialist. He has a BA in philosophy. He has created such an amazing source of nutrition and training. He's just a great scope of caring and training of his clients. I just fell in love with what he offers everyone and his techniques. So I'm just, Benjamin, I have to say welcome. I'm just so, so excited to have you on the show.
Thank you, Paula V. I promise everyone I did not pay her to say all those nice things.
Yay! I'm just such a big fan. I could go on and on, but we're here to listen to you. So Benjamin, start with, if you would, just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and what brought you into what you do, this passion.
Yeah. Well, you know, like a lot of guys did and still do in their teenage years, I got really into bodybuilding. I loved it. And within the span of a few years, I put on about 50 or 60 pounds of muscle. So I was kind of making the progress I wanted to make. You know, fitness is a big part of my life. I trained actually with some top-notch amateur bodybuilders that were literally ranked at the national level. I met some pro bodybuilders. Now, of course, I took the healthy route, but I didn't get into steroids or anything like that. But I loved the sport. I loved getting in shape. I loved it. I learned all the normal ways of building muscle, building strength, losing fat. And the problem was, when I was in my early 20s already, I was starting to have some serious joint problems to the point that I couldn't do certain exercises with even 5 pounds. So I looked kind of odd at the gym when I was this kind of big guy. I couldn't even do 5 pounds on certain exercises. And I'd be next to a guy who was a lot skinnier than me, and he was lifting a lot more weight. So, you know, I found out later on that was a result of a rare genetic disorder I have called cleidocranial dysplasia. And about 1 in 1 million people have that. So it's very rare, obviously, and because of its rarity, there's very little research done on it, and thus very little advice from the medical community on how to treat it or how to work with it. It's essentially defined by various skeletal problems. So the biggest one is having little to no collarbone. So I have about half a collarbone. Before I worked out, I could actually touch my shoulders together. The problem with that is you also have scoliosis, some hips problems, some knee problems. So I had problems in every joint. And the problem, especially with collarbone, with having less bone there, is there's less structure there. And so the shoulders just pop all over the place. So with all the heavy weights I was doing, my shoulders were in and out of socket, all these problems. And so by the time I was in my 20s, I could barely lift my arms in certain directions, constant pain, my arm went numb. and I started having some similar knee problems. Well, 5 or 6 orthopedic surgeons later and several physical therapists later and 2 surgeries later, I was in even worse shape. And was told by my very last orthopedic surgeon at 25 years old that I was hopeless. I shouldn't hike. I shouldn't work out. And at the time, I could not lift my left arm over my head. I could not do a bodyweight squat. Stairs hurt me. Sitting up and down hurt me. Jogging I couldn't do. So that was going to be quite the life that I was going to be kind of destined to, so to speak. And I wasn't going to settle with that. So I did a lot of research over the course of a few years. Eventually, I found after technique, after technique, after technique, I found, a revolutionary way of approaching the body that healed me. So now I don't have any of those problems anymore, and I found pretty quickly that what healed me healed others as well, and as soon as one session. And not fully in one session, but people that were in similar boats as me told they weren't going to get healed by various medical professionals. I had them on the right track, at least, within a few weeks. I can't cure everybody, obviously, but I did find that what I found was immensely helpful for both myself and others, and that kind of amounted to the training and diet program I now have in Body Mind Fitness.
Yes, I love that. And I have read some of the testimonials on your website, and what you have done for others as well, Benjamin, is amazing. So,
thank you.
Please, you're so welcome. Please share. So, break down exactly what you mean by the body mind fitness.
Sure. Yeah, it's kind of a weird phrase, especially hearing body mind. We usually hear mind body, like the mind body connection, or a lot of times in yoga, they might say mind body in various usages. But, the Buddha actually called it the body-mind, that when one is mindful or aware of one's mind, of all the emotions and thoughts going on, and mindful of your body, aware of your body, you actually start to experience it all as one unit. And this one unit, he called the body-mind. Now, there are others who call it body-mind, of course, but that's where I got the term. I meditated for a while in college, and then following college, I actually moved to I live in a Zen Buddhist monastery, and I meditated up to 14 hours a day there. It was a very intense lifestyle, to say the least, and I was there for a little while, and Zen Buddhism really emphasizes the meditation aspect of Buddhism, so they meditate especially a lot. So, my experience in meditation helped me see firsthand how it helps, and specifically how it applies to working out. So my idea is to bring the kind of mindfulness that comes from meditation into working out, because when you think about it, if there's any moment in time where you want to be mindful, it's probably when you had heavy weights over your head. But a lot of people think they can just pop into the gym, put on some heavy, some loud music, and just kind of lift these heavy things up and down, and they're going to be fine. But reality is these movements are complex movements, and unless you put in the training to really master the movement, and that's done with a lot of mindfulness, you're going to injure yourself. No violinist ever got good at the violin by doing something once or twice a week for 2 or 3 sets super hard, right? They do it day in and day out, again and again and again and again and again. And they do it, paying attention to everything they're doing. And it's the same thing with working out. The difference is with the violinist, of course, the violin messes up. The violinist messes up. He doesn't, injure a shoulder permanently or injure a knee permanently or hurt a vertebrae, whereas with working out, you do, which is why mindfulness is especially important. And if it's not a practiced part of your life, it can be very difficult to be mindful when you've got heavy weights over your head.
Oh, yes, exactly, exactly. And we will discuss this further in the next segment, but do you recommend with your training, do you bring nutrition into it as well? Nutrition and attitude, the mindfulness, all of that. You bring it all together, don't you?
I do, yeah. Again, that kind of goes with body-mind, right? They're all one unit. You know, when I was first getting the personal training, I was told, you know, if you don't, you know, just focus on getting them workouts. They want to get a diet, they can go somewhere else. If they want to unload on you emotionally, they can get a counselor. But I don't know, me personally being a perfectionist and wanting something done right, for me requires that I do everything possible to make it done right. Mm-hmm. And secondly, I cared about people. I didn't see him as just this person I was getting money from. So, okay, you know, thanks for your money. Session's over. Get out of here.
Right.
I actually valued him. So, and I knew from firsthand experience, you need to have all these aspects integrated together to be an effective trainer and to make the pathway to health, you know, realistic and sustainable. So, yeah, I definitely bring nutrition into it. I mean, it's about as important as gas is for a car. And nutrition affects your mind state for sure. And your mind state affects nutrition. We all know that when we're stressed, we eat bad foods, right?
Right.
And that sorts of cycle. So, yeah, I feel like clients with me kind of get a really holistic experience in the sense that I try to incorporate all these aspects of life into your training because they all affect your training. If you got a lot on your mind, it's going to be very difficult to concentrate when you're at the gym.
Right.
So, and that's where mindfulness, again, comes in, learning to let things go when necessary so that you can focus on what you need to focus on.
Right. Yes. Yes. And I love that analogy. Nutrition is like putting gas in the car because, you know, I see that, you know, if I work out, then, oh, I've done my workout, I'm going to go and I'm just going to put this basic garbage food in my body. No, you really do need the whole picture, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And that kind of working out, I think, is symptomatic of our mentality in modern society that nothing should really be that inconvenient. Everything should be somewhat comfortable. So as long as I do a little bit here and a little bit there, I'm good. So I can eat whatever I want to eat as long as I go to the gym for 30 or 40 minutes a day.
Right.
But that kind of lifestyle where you're bouncing back from extremes is, A, not very sustainable. I don't know many people who actually live that way for a long period.
Yes.
Eventually, it's kind of like, I'm not going to go to the gym anymore.
Yeah.
And B, if you actually are willing to start bringing in your exercise with your nutrition, to create a healthy lifestyle, it's just so much more pleasurable. It actually makes you happier.
Yes.
So a lot of people think being healthy is just another stress to life. And that's frankly how most people in the health industry present it. You know, if you were really dedicated and if you really had discipline, you would do this too. And that's just ridiculous. I mean, I know firsthand how busy modern life is, and I'm not even married and I don't even have a family,
mm-hmm.
right? So if I had those things on top of it, it's crazy. So
it
has to be something. Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead, Paula Dean.
Yeah, I'm agreeing. You're busy. You know, that is a fact. Yes.
Right. So adding in yet another chore is, of course, not going to be desirable. People are going to put it off, and they're not going to last. So this has to be a change in your lifestyle,
yes.
A positive change in your lifestyle, so that it's actually sustainable. And this, again, comes back to the whole body-mind concept that your mind can only take so much stress. So I'm going to sit here and try to add another stress on top of that. You're going to go crazy. I would go crazy. Everybody would go crazy. But if we remember that we're and I'll probably talk about this a bit in the second segment, but that we are embodied beings, meaning we have these bodies wherever we go, I think that helps keep our priorities straight. You know, society wants us to think that this job's important, that's important, that's important, that's important. But your body is more important. I'm sorry. It's hard to – you can't do anything if your body's not working.
Yes, I agree.
So the body has to be a priority, and I try to help my clients see that so that their lifestyle kind of starts to go to revolve around that.
I love that. I love that. Oh, Benjamin, yes, fantastic information. I'm afraid we must pop out to a commercial. Thank you so much. Everyone, we stay tuned. I'll be right back with Benjamin. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Paula V here. Benjamin and I are sharing some great information about his body, mind, fitness. And Benjamin, let's just jump right back in. I would love to have you share with us your thoughts on, you know, the messages that our bodies give us. It's my understanding, you know, we have urges. We can be hungry. We can be thirsty. And really, we can read those urges wrong. And let's say we feel like we're hungry, but really we might be dehydrated. Is that correct?
Right. Oh, that's absolutely correct. Yeah. You know, I kind of compare it to, you know, the Buddha talked about developing the gift of discernment. Well, not the gift of discernment, but developing the ability to discern things, you know, right from wrong, or to see things as they are. And that, he said, came about through a regular practice of mindfulness. And it's the same things with their own body, that if we don't have that regular practice, we can mistake certain urges for other urges. And also there's a simple fact that bad foods, and especially a lot of the, you know, kind of unnatural chemicals we put into our bodies today, these actually trick our bodies into not recognizing certain things for what they are. So, you know, a good example is, you know, corn syrup acting as a sweetener, or, you know, artificial sweetener acting as a sugar. These kind of things kind of trick our bodies, right? But when the body has a steady intake of food that's not good for it, it stops being able to recognize what it actually does need. It's very similar to somebody who smokes, right? I don't know a single person who's ever said, oh, yeah, that first cigarette, I loved it. Usually it's, ugh, it's disgusting, it's nasty. They a lot of times immediately get nauseated. But after a few cigarettes, suddenly the body starts liking it, and eventually it starts craving it, and eventually it becomes so addictive that it almost can't stop, and people literally lose their lives because the addiction to it is so strong.
Yes.
But in the initial stage, it was actually something the body rejected, didn't want. And it's the same thing with our diet. The problem is most of us, I'm kind of giving you a mouthful here, I hope you don't mind.
No, love it, Benjamin, love it.
Most of us have had bad food for such a long period. Our bodies have ability to sense what food it actually needs is so off that it's helpful to have a trainer to at first say, okay, here's what you eat, here's what you don't eat. But ideally, when our bodies are functioning properly, they're actually, for the most part, only craving the foods that are actually healthy for you. And this might sound kind of extreme or completely unbelievable, but it is true. You know, I mean, if you imagine any other animal in the animal kingdom, they pretty much only crave what's good for them. I mean, it's hard to imagine lions, for instance, I don't know, sitting in the field and really wishing, oh, I really want those leaves over there, but I just can't. I'm watching my weight. Right? No, of course not. We're made to crave the food that's good for us. So someone could respond and say, well, cake, cookies, that's not good for me. Cake and cookies themselves are not, but what they have are nutrients in them that your body's wanting. So if you're creating bad foods, what that tells me as a trainer is that's indicative of nutrients that you actually need. So the biggest one is healthy fat. That's actually the macronutrient your body needs the most of, but we're programmed to think fat is bad for you. And in some sense, that programming is accurate because most of the fat in American diet is unhealthy fat. And that fat is, you know, not good for you. But if you're getting in healthy fat, for instance, you might find you stop craving, you know, cake, cookies, bread, things like that that aren't good for you. So the point of saying all that is ideally, healthy living is not a constant war with these urges and these cravings you're having. It's actually looking into these urges and cravings and seeing where they come from, solving the problem at that level. Suddenly the cravings stop going away, and suddenly, you know, eating healthily is actually pretty effortless. So that's how healthy eating is sustainable. If you're you know, doing these diets where you're just having these cravings left and right, but you got to eat this certain way, that's not going to last. And there's a reason why your cravings go so high when you're eating these supposed healthy diets. It's because these healthy diets are low in nutrients your body actually does need. And your body knows, well, hey, I get at least some fat from cake, so I'm going to crave cake.
Yeah. Wow.
Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. Because really, our body does need some fat. Correct.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, all the organ functions in your body, basic functioning, brain function, heart function, skin, that comes from fat, not from carbs. Carbs are more energy for actual fuel, working out, exercise, but energy your body needs for tone maintenance, which is doing 24/7, as opposed to exercise, you're not exercising 24/7. Your body needs fat and it needs a lot of it, but healthy fat. Fats like an olive oil, stuff like that. That's a really healthy fat. I mean, there's a reason that Mediterraneans tend to be longer living, healthier hearts, less disease, better skin, better hair. It's because their diets are really high in healthy fats. They're getting in good fatty fruits. They're getting in healthy fat in their meats. They're eating a lot of fish. So Excellent. Islander diets have a lot of the same things.
Yes.
So, fat's definitely essential.
Yes, I love that. I love that. So when we realize that we can really connect with our body and understand these urges, that can make a big difference on our overall bottom line of our health, correct?
Oh, hugely, yeah. And, you know, my goal is to make all my clients an expert on their own bodies so that ideally they don't need me anymore. So if you can learn to say, oh, hey, okay, I'm craving this food, what did Benjamin teach me that indicates that, well, you know, the kind of nutrients I'm looking for?
Yes.
You start asking yourself those questions and you say, okay, I'm craving this food. Oh, that means I'm lacking in, you know, A, B, and C nutrients. Oh, okay, so I need to add that into my diet. So your cravings are kind of a signpost as to what's, you know, right or wrong in your diet.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. And Benjamin, please take a moment on that topic. Share with the listeners what you offer and your website, possibly your email, how they can get a hold of you to do some sessions with you and gain from your
Sure.
amazing experience and knowledge.
Yeah, thanks.
Awesome.
Well, my website is trainingwithbenjamin.com. So again, it's trainingwithbenjamin.com. My email is trainingwithbenjamin@gmail.com. Again, that's trainingwithbenjamin@gmail.com. If you're in the States, you're welcome to call me at 717-357-1248. And what I offer is, you know, the very basics. I offer personal training nutrition programs. But I think it's obvious from this session that I kind of offer a whole lot more than that. So I have people kind of call me almost health coach or something like that, but health coach has other connotations. But, I mean, I offer meditation instruction because I have all my clients meditate. That for me, and not necessarily in any religious way, so I don't want anybody to think that I'm, you know, trying to convert anybody to something or not. But it's a great way of learning to calm the mind and connect with the body, which is essential to all the things we talked about here, essential to figuring out how your body needs to move and the kind of foods your body needs, right, and learning to read its urges.
Yes.
So I offer that, and, obviously exercise programs, diet programs. I regularly do Skype sessions with clients all over the country, with all their health needs, essentially. And we even discuss lifestyle changes that are impeding their health, and even some psychological stuff, because the reality is when you're going through a lot of stuff personally, most trainers will just say, okay, well, get over it, okay, be disciplined. But the reality is that does affect your health, and that needs to be discussed and helped as well. So, I kind of have a very holistic approach. So that's what I offer, both, sessions to locals and then online sessions.
Oh, that is so fantastic, Benjamin. So fantastic.
Yeah, thanks.
They don't just get a piece of the pie, they get the whole pie. And it sounds like you really connect with people individually on their needs and improving their own lives.
Yeah, I really try to do that, I'm a big perfectionist. So for me, if I'm not doing something right, I'm not happy with it. And that requires being intensely focused for me on one person at a time and really getting into all your personal needs. So I'm not a, I don't train people with generic kind of, guidelines at all. And, I try to give everyone the experience you're looking for.
I love it. I love it. Oh, that is just such a great thing to offer. And, you know, today so many people really, I think more and more people every day are wanting to be healthier, but really aren't sure how.
Right.
So you
are
a great tool.
I would think so, and it came about through years of research on my end of being really into bodybuilding when I was young and to learning the mainstream ways of working out and getting in shape, realizing that those mainstream ways tend to cause a lot of injury. If you go to a gym and talk to any guy who works out seriously, he'll tell you about this joint problem and that joint problem and that joint problem. And these are guys in their 20s, not in their 50s or 60s or 70s or 80s. They're 20s.
Yes.
So you can think about what their life's going to be like when they're twice that age. And then I had the medical community really, frankly, fail me in a lot of ways. When I was 25 years old, couldn't lift my arm over my head, couldn't do a bodyweight squat, couldn't jog. So I was really forced to look at the body in a whole new way. And I'm glad I did. I healed all my problems. I healed clients who come to me, and a lot of them are told they're never going to heal from this or that. And within weeks, they're already seeing progress with me. Sometimes literally within a session or two. I don't want to promise anything, but that's, that's the kind of results I've seen.
Oh, amazing. Amazing, Benjamin. Oh,
well, thank you.
I'm afraid our time is up. I have to say goodbye. I want to thank you so much for this fantastic show and being a guest.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. I really am honored to have you on the show, Benjamin.
Yeah, thank you, Paula V. Yeah, I appreciate it. I was honored to be here.
Oh, thank you. And to everyone, goodbye. Big hugs. A happy day to everyone.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.